Okay, our next speaker is Bruce Lindquist, and the title of his speech is The Carbon and Nutrient Losses in Rice Field Drainage Water.
Thank you. Before I get started on this talk, I'd like to recognize some of my co-authors on this. It's Johan Six, Chris Van Kessel, and Jim Hill, all from UC Davis, and Matt Ruark from University of Wisconsin right now. Now I'll be discussing nutrient carbon losses from rice field drain waters. I'm sure some of you may not be very familiar with rice systems, and so just to give you a little bit of background, rice is grown on over 200,000 plus hectares in the Sacramento Valley. It's grown a lot more acreage in the southern U.S. A large portion of water applied to rice fields ends up leaving the rice field as surface water, and it enters, in our case, the Sacramento River, which is the largest contributor of water to the Delta system, which flows into the Sacramento Bay Area water system, and that provides drinking water for over 22 million people and is a very sensitive wetland habitat. Therefore, the nutrient composition of the water leaving rice fields is important not only for good water quality and for downstream users, but it is important in managing nutrients. And if you look at a lot of nutrient budgets developed for rice systems, very few account for what's actually lost in the water. Something that's relatively unique to California rice systems is that it's all wet seeded. And what we mean by that is, if you look in this field here, after land preparation, fields are flooded, and you have aerial seeding. And then the field may stay flooded for the duration of the season. However, during the early season, some growers may choose to drain their fields. They may choose to hold water so that there's no drainage. It all depends on herbicide management. However, once you get into the middle of the season, about 40 days, you go into a maintenance flow period where growers are seeking to maintain a certain level of water in their fields. And so there's constant water flow through the field and water leaving in the outlet. Fields are drained in August and harvested in September, October. In the winter, fields are also potentially flooded, and this has come about through the incorporation of straw. Up to 1991, just about all the rice straw was burned to get rid of it. However, the Rice Straw Burning Reduction Act in 1991 put a restriction on that, and currently less than 20% is actually burned. You can't get permits to burn. And what you see here is most fields are flooded and incorporated during the winter, and they have the same sort of practice where they'll continually let water flow through. They're letting water flow through primarily to attract ducks. A lot of the growers belong to duck clubs, but it also, having the flood system there, facilitates straw decomposition. So the objectives of my talk today are to really identify when DOC and nutrients are leaving the rice fields in the drain water, to determine how much of these nutrients are leaving, and to quantify the impacts of straw and water management on the concentrations and loads of these constituents. Oops, let me back up here. In 2006 and 2007, we conducted field studies. These were full field, approximately 40 to 50 hectares each. We had four sets of fields located around the Sacramento Valley. In each set of fields, it was really a pair of fields, one field where the straw was burned and the other where straw was incorporated. Water flow was determined using rectangular weirs and pressure sensors attached to these weirs. And we measured water in the inlet and outlet sampling. In those areas, water was filtered and analyzed for various constituents. We sampled regularly. We sampled more frequently during times when the system was changing, maybe up to four times a week during those periods. During maintenance flow periods where things have were more static, once to twice a week. So looking at our results, if we just look very broadly at our results, and this is the net gains and losses of nutrients, and this is averaged across years, seasons, not seasons, but straw management treatments. And we're looking at net losses. This is subtracting the amount that's entering the field or leaving the field from the amount entering the field. A negative number would suggest that the field is a sink for a particular nutrient. A positive number would suggest that nutrient is leaving, that nutrient is actually leaving the field. I'm going to deal very briefly here with nitrogen. We lost very little nitrogen during either the growing season or the winter season. Inconsequential from the perspective of the other nutrients. And so we're not going to focus too much on that. The highest values we saw were ammonium in one field, 3.3 kilograms per hectare lost during the winter period. If we looked at DOC, what we see is during the growing season, on average, there was zero losses. However, there's quite a large range from minus 14. So there's, in some cases, fields were a sink for DOC. In other cases, 20 kilograms per hectare lost. In the winter, very different story. This is where most of our DOC was lost, on average roughly 27, but a range of 0 to 190. We're going to get into the reason for some of this wide range in a little while. Phosphorus, no real losses in terms of phosphorus during the growing season. However, during the winter, we saw a range of 0 to almost 10 kilograms per hectare lost, with an average of 0.7 kilograms per hectare lost. Potassium, during the growing season, fields were on average a net sink for these nutrients. However, during the winter is where it was a potential great losses, up to, in one field, almost 100 kilograms per hectare being lost. So that's how much we lost. We're going to shift here. This is looking at actual concentrations to look at when during the season are these losses occurring, and how does straw management affect those. I'm going to show a couple of these graphs. This is the growing season, the winter season, and the three different periods that I had mentioned before, the early season, where there's potentially a lot of drains, mid-season, maintenance flow, and then the final drain. And this is parts per million across here. What we see here, just focusing on the winter, we see very high DOC concentrations, up to, on average, 40 ppm in the early season drains, and significantly higher than the burn fields. And this does decline over time, so that the end is between 15 and 20 ppm. However, still very high compared to what we're seeing in the inlet, which is roughly about 3 to 4 ppm coming in. The concentration of DOC in the burn fields really had no change through the season. If we go into the growing season, there's perhaps still somewhat of a memory effect here from the winter season, where we're still seeing slightly higher, but not significantly higher DOC levels. And then by the remaining of the season, we're down around 5 ppm in both straw burned and incorporated fields. So again, most of our losses are occurring in the winter, and it's really the onset of the drains where we experience most of these losses. If we look at phosphorus, again, looking at the concentration here, not much happening in the growing season. Phosphorus concentrations tend to be less than 0.2 ppm. However, in the winter, we see very high values of phosphorus leaving the burn fields. And again, when you burn rice field, the straw, you have a lot of relatively free phosphate that can leave when either during a rainfall event that promotes runoff, or if the fields have been flooded, you get that phosphate running off there as well. Potassium, very little happening during the growing season. Concentrations less than 2 generally throughout the growing season, regardless of how you manage straw. However, during the winter, we have very high losses of potassium, similar to DOC, the pattern we saw in DOC, where initially very high losses, early in the season, declining. However, we're also seeing fairly high losses in the burn fields. Potassium is held in plant material ionically, so it's not bound up in proteins. It can be leached from straw, or if you burn it, there's a lot of free potassium. So all of this can leave if you have water leaving your field during the winter period, which is generally the practice. All right, if we want to look at how water management affects this, and this is going to show us why we got such wide ranges. We've seen part of the reason is due to straw management, but we're also seeing that there's an effect of straw of water management. And on this axis here is water flux, meter cube per hectare over the season. And we've got the amount of loss here from the rice field in kilograms per hectare of a nutrient. And the green below shows the growing season, and the blue the winter. And what we see in both cases is that the more water you have running through those fields, the greater your losses for both the winter and the growing season. So in this case, in the growing season, we can actually, the fields can be a sink for DOC if we can limit the amount of water flowing through those fields. Looking at the same types of graphs for phosphorus and potassium, we see only during the winter do we see a significant effect of water management. Again, similar to what we saw with DOC, high water fluxes give you a high loss of nutrient from the fields during these winter periods, and those are significant. In the growing season, we do not see this effect. It's basically flat relative to the amount of flux that we have going through those fields. So again, water management during the growing season may not be such an issue at that time, but certainly it is during the winter for those nutrients. So in conclusion, our nitrogen losses from these systems are minimal. The most that we saw was 3.3 kilograms per hectare. If you look at just when seasonally it is, the DOC, P, and K losses were highest during the winter periods. And for DOC and K, the concentrations were highest, our losses were greatest at the onset of the season. So managing the water flow in that first those first drainage events are critical. Straw management does have a significant effect and did lead to higher DOC and K losses. And these need to be accounted for in nutrient budgets that are developed for these systems. And water flux certainly played a large role in the winter for DOC and nutrient loads. And so our losses are largely driven by water flow with not so much concentration. And reducing water flow should reduce nutrient losses from our fields. And with that, I'd like to thank you.
Great. Thank you. Well, it's time for a break. We still have